The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Jesus said, "For it is if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more talents. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, your mail, like mine, may just pile up on the table, but some of you may have gotten to the recent issue of Magna Carta, and if you did, you might have seen that comic strip on the back by Joe Martin. It shows a fellow sitting idly on a park bench. He is enjoying the day. And the caption up on the left-hand side reads, "A Time to Worry." And soon, as we scan the comic, we can see why. Because the voice of God is coming out of the billowing clouds behind the park bench, and the voice of God says to the idle fellow, "What is it exactly that you do?" The man is nervous. Well, we Americans have no trouble believing that we ought to be occupied and enterprising in all our waking hours and often late into the night. It is a greater challenge for any of us ever to find our way to a park bench for a sit and a bit of needed reflection. We would rather soldier on with work. The vaunted Protestant work ethic that has so shaped our culture finds some of its original basis, its original legs, in the parable of the talents in Matthew's gospel, which we have just read. "Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." Ben Franklin. It's in our blood. We've heard it all since we were very small. And work we do. We work more hours than people in any other advanced country, including the vaunted Japanese. More hours than any country in the Western world. An amazing 8 weeks a year longer than the average Western European. And this isn't a description of America's downtrodden masses. It is a description of managers and professionals and those who are most wired into the perpetual demands of laptops and cell phones. You know who you are. What is our favorite question at cocktail parties? What do you do? How many of us limit ourselves really to a 50-hour work week? And on the whole, we are glad about this. More than 80% of people say that they are satisfied with their jobs. We all have taken to heart Noel Coward's old phrase, "Work is much more fun than fun." So whatever cautionary we may want to offer about our pressured and over-calendared kids, and more than a few cautionaries are in order in that respect, we would have to say that this parable has carried the day. American affluence is, in fair measure, a byproduct of our religious values in times past. But perhaps we ought to reevaluate this parable, which I suspect did not mean, when it first passed Jesus' lips, an agenda for capitalism. Now, a talent was a great pile of money. It was 15 years' worth of wages. Those servants in the parable have been entrusted with a great deal, and much was expected in return. By the time medieval English was developing in England, that economic term talent, that measure of a unit of exchange, had come to mean the innate gifts and graces that God has given to each of us in differing measure in all creation. And so the spiritual point of all this was not lost on our pre-Puritan forebears. How about that bad actor in Jesus' parable? He doesn't really seem all that terrible, does he? He is no embezzler. He's not an oppressor. He's not a man of violence. The crime of the barrier of the single talent. Doesn't that sound like a movie? The crime of the barrier of his money in the field is just risk aversion. In Jesus' telling, this is a sin. Christ is summoning his listeners to a spiritual version of venture capitalism, challenging us to leave fear-driven choices behind for a species of freedom which is rooted in existential confidence in God and good, even in the midst of a fraught and frightening and unjust world. Life, even here in comfortable America, is a perilous venture, and our deep instinct is to make ourselves safe and secure and to build walls and houses that keep the bad out and keep the happy in. And Jesus' incessant warnings about the love of riches has nothing objectively to do with money and everything to do with the risk aversion and the caution it brings into our lives when our focus narrows down, when our focus settles in on our own security and well-being. So we're given repeatedly in the Gospels a counter-narrative about love of God and love of neighbor. Put those things first. Jesus repeats like a drumbeat, and you will save yourself from slavery to security and mammon. Trust the counter-narrative, and doing that is risky business. So what is work? Work is about the satisfaction of our wants and the provision of security. It is a necessary and delightful thing if you can find it. But a creature who understands the world only through the prism of wants and security is an unavoidably deeply anxious creature. And the cure for anxiety is, surprisingly, pushing beyond fear and taking risk and learning how to trust the master, though the master admittedly seems to have been a long while gone from the farm. And the world feels godless. Maybe it's better to play it safe and guard home base. I remember the first time I went rock climbing. It became an avocation of mine for a while. But the first time I went, I was in college, and I went out with a friend who was an experienced rock climber, or at least that's what he told me. And we went out several times and scaled some lower walls, and then finally came the day when my friend, the experienced rock climber, decided it was time for me to learn how to belay down the face of a 90-foot cliff. And he was down on the ground with all the ropes in his hand. I was up at the top of the 90-foot cliff, and as I began to back over the cliff, it suddenly occurred to me that I didn't really know him all that well. And as I eased over that cliff, I thought, I'm being incredibly stupid. But it was a necessary risk if you're going to be a rock climber. So faith, my friends, is a cliff dive. It is trusting an unseen God who seems to have been off the farm for an awfully long time in an unsafe world, doing so on the basis of some ancient texts, on the sacraments of the altar, a community of shared belief, a reservoir of hope, a confidence in the relationships that we have been able to experience in our lives. It is a risk. It involves facing our fears. If we are to live as Christ taught, we will always be on belay. And that's when we are most fully human. That's when the creative parts of us, our true talents, are quickened by the Creator who wants us to live creatively and thrive accordingly. Maybe you have watched Amy Poehler on Saturday Night Live. Have you watched Amy Poehler? She's a funny gal. She has just written a funny book. It's called Yes, Please. And in an interview this week on NPR, she talked about how in her life there was a real difference between creativity and career. This is what she said. Creativity is connected to passion. It's that light that drives you. Creativity is like a big, warm Hispanic woman who cooks incredible Latin food and feeds you all the time and smells good when she hugs you. A career, on the other hand, is like a bad boyfriend. It never calls you back. It will never marry you. It will never make you whole, and it flirts openly with other people. The ways that we perceive reality form the architecture of our lives. It makes a map through the valleys and the plains and the mountains. Maybe you have seen that terrific Netflix series on Lewis and Clark. You can find it on Netflix. And in that series, Lewis and Clark sit down before their journey across the vast northwestern wilderness to the Pacific Ocean, and they look at all the maps that have ever been made of those wildlands west of Ohio. And they realize that those maps aren't worth squat. And they set out on their journey anyway, and they make it up as they go along, and they arrived at the Pacific. Maybe that's what this parable is asking of us. Admit it, sometimes you would like a more certain set of charts. You would like to belong to a church that could tell you that A and B and C is absolutely what you need to do in this life. These are your marching orders. Scripture is inerrant and infallible. And we are not that church. We have lots of light. Our scriptures are dependable. I'm not sure what to do with that uncharitable passage from Zephaniah today, but the scriptures are helpful. They provide light on the road. We have science. We have the magnitude of human learning. But finally, we have to either live small and play safe or venture forth trail by trail over the boring plains, the challenging valleys, and the high mountains. What story are you telling yourself? What architecture have you constructed? I know I have a hard time disconnecting from all of that helpful technology in our lives. I have trouble slipping the leash. I find it difficult not to always be productive. But we are made for freedom, for passion, for creativity, even for idleness. You know, Aristotle linked idleness to freedom. To do something in a leisurely manner doesn't mean to do it slowly. It means to do it without the anxiety of pursuing wants and security. So I have decided that I owe all of you the walk around the grounds of the Huntington Library that I've been putting off for 3 years. I owe all of you a hike up Echo Mountain. Maybe I can hear God with a bit more clarity if I'm not also hearing my iPhone ping. And you owe your children the example and experience of serendipity, of an unscheduled pace, of time to be idle, the joy of creativity, the cessation of the satisfaction of wants and the fears of insecurity. Rilke wrote a poem I like. I am circling around God, around the ancient tower. It feels as though I have been circling for 1,000 years, and I still do not know if I am a falcon or a storm or a great song. The core of our purpose is to circle around God, falcon-like, daily, fiercely. We are made for more than toil. We have to push back against our culture, or anxiety will define us. Mr. One Talent succumbed to fear and the quest for security. He risked nothing, and hence he failed at being human. And it was a great wickedness. Fear not, I am with you, said Christ. Take charge of the architecture of your life. The map is not on GPS anyway. We're all on belay. The journey isn't easy, but if we can trust God and take a bit of risk for our neighbor, there is good return. Amen.